I spoke with Susan Vita, director of the music division, and Raymond White, senior curator. I understand there are papers, there are musical scores,
there photographs,
are objects.
Yes, we have three desks. We're not sure why we have three desks, but we have George Gershwin's desk, Rachmaninoff's desk, and Victor Herbert's desk. His is a stand-up desk. He was a huge guy. Rachmaninoff, as you can imagine, is very ornate and old world looking. And George Gershwin designed his own. It's very Art Deco looking with cubicles here and there for thing. And we have all of those guys. We have all of their papers as well. And why do we get those? We get them because we're getting their papers in general, and that happens to be part of the story.
Hi, I'm Ray White. I'm a senior specialist. I've been around a long time. The one Philadelphia connection that Sue can tell you about is that an awful lot of distinguished 20th century American people have Curtis connections. Leonard Bernstein and Samuel Barber is two real good examples. And Samuel Barber is from that area anyway. And we have extensive holdings of music manuscripts and so forth of both of those people.
Any aha moments? I know that's a broad question.
Well, it is, but it's a good question. We have instances of things in manuscripts that people sometimes don't expect to see. Last year, we did a project that involved examining the original score for Porgy and Bess. And we had a singer from the Washington Opera who was here and a scholar from Great Britain. And they were looking through the manuscript, and they were looking at the portion where Porgy sings, "I got plenty of nothing." And in the original manuscript, it says, "They can steal the walls and the floor. That's okay with me." Well, I don't know how anyone would steal walls and floor. But the change became, "They can steal the rug from the floor," which sounds plenty cool, makes sense, and it's better poetry anyway. So the singer who was here was terribly intrigued, yet realized that just because something is in the original manuscript, it actually says more about the compositional process than the composer's final goal. And so he didn't leave here thinking, "I'm going to change the way I sing this," but he left here with a better sense of how George and Ira and DuBose Hayward were putting this work together, and that frequently happens.
Insights that create a fuller perception?
Mm-hmm. And we're a lot about process here. We love sketches and drafts and early versions of things that do indeed inform how these musical items, some of them absolutely standard pieces, masterworks, how they came to be created.
One of the things I wanted to ask you is if there's something that comes to mind, a paper or a score that shows a little known fact or gives sort of a particular insight into a composition.
There's lots of that. Rhapsody in Blue. George Gershwin had apparently had a conversation with Whiteman, and he'd asked him to do a jazz symphony. And so George said yes, and then apparently promptly forgot that he kind of said that he was going to do that. So George and Ira are in a pool hall. George is shooting pool. Ira is reading the newspaper. And Ira says, this is in the beginning of January in, 24? And Ira says, "Hey, George, there's an article here that says that you're writing a jazz symphony for Whiteman's band, and it's going to be premiered in February." So this is January.
Mm-hmm.
February, like early in February, the 12th. So George says, "Whoops, I guess I better get going on this." So he sits down and he writes it, and they got Verdi Groffet to orchestrate it. And so I guess there was kind of this ferrying back and forth of George's work and then, taking it to Groffet so he could rapidly do the orchestration for it. But since George was going to perform it, they kind of didn't do very much about the piano part, and they just sketched it. So the conductor's score has, all the orchestration that Groffet did. and then and it's got the piano part sketched in. And then at the top of this one page, you know, where there was supposed to be, the piano was supposed to be playing, and the orchestra's kind of waiting to come in. There's this penciled thing that says, wait for nod. So, in other words, George was going to be playing, and he was going to go, okay, now, come in. And the orchestra would come in and perform the rest of the, you know, thing. So those kinds of things are hidden in all sorts of things.
We own manuscripts of two cantatas by Johann Sebastian Bach. And several years ago, we gave performances of them in our Coolidge Auditorium by the Washington Bach Consort, which is a very distinguished ensemble that makes a specialty of Bach's music. And before the concert began, we were showing the manuscript of the cantata to a number of members of the orchestra. And a cello player just kind of screamed when she saw that the articulation indicated in the manuscript was not what they were accustomed to playing. And this is a group that gives authoritative performances. They work from good materials. And yet they were surprised to see the manuscript differs mm-hmm. from what they were doing. The original materials in their own handwritings that show how they did what they did just shine a different light on their work than simply the finished score.
You have autographed manuscripts for Copland's Appalachian Spring.
Yeah, now that's a great story, the Appalachian Spring story, because we commissioned that. We were working with Martha Graham to commission her to do a ballet, and she wanted to work with Copland. So we commissioned Copland to do the music for the ballet. We have extensive correspondence back and forth between the two of them. Martha sketching the storyline and, you know, Copland saying back, what about this and that kind of thing. You know, just the thought that if we hadn't commissioned that, would Appalachian Spring ever have existed, and what kind of a loss that would have been. That one really gets me. Performers come here, composers come here, students that are working on dissertations, publishers, general public, yes. People coming in wondering whether or not their grandmother's composition is here that they copyrighted, you know, 100 years ago or whatever. Like, for example, right now we're working with Playbill, and they have hired somebody to go through our special collections and pull out items from some of them that can tell a story that can be in Playbill.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.